individuals by reading the New Testament. Now, that's overly simplified, but it's a general thing you can look at. Ezekiel 35, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand these ideas. Help us to understand that you are not surprised with what's going on. You are not shocked. In fact, you're just letting things go because you got a plan. And thank God we're on the winning side. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand this passage that Ezekiel wrote many, many years ago, prophesied about a certain race of people and a certain area, landmass that you are gonna wipe out. And we ask that you'd help us to fall in line with your thinking. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Ezekiel 34 is a pretty negative blast against the prophets of the day, Ezekiel 13 and 34. And then 35, he adds an additional thought to that, so he makes a political statement here. And it's only 15 verses, and you read down through there, it's the desolation of a place called Edom. Okay, the Edomites are descendants from Esau. And the reason why God is going to do this is because of the mentality, the hatred, the envy of the Arabs against Israel. Okay, isn't it amazing how the left-wing liberals are more concerned about an Iranian that has maimed people? And in fact, the missile that they just sent was paid for by the Obama administration or through the Obama administration. Isn't that wonderful? And the media is not saying a cotton-picking thing about it. Of course, we know why. We know why. We know what God's doing. He's sending these Edomites throughout the entire world so that in the tribulation, beheading will be the method of execution. And then when God's done with them, he said, tag, we're going to do it to you. And God has taken an oath on this, so there's nothing going to change this. So in verse 1 of chapter 35, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, prophesy against it. Okay, a mountain. This is Edom. This is modern-day Saudi Arabia and Jordan. Combination of both. Not all of Saudi Arabia, but Jordan and Saudi Arabia. Jordan is the place where the Jews would try to run during the tribulation to the rock city. So he's prophesying against a certain landmass here. And he says, and say unto it, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee, and I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. Okay, there's nothing a Middle East peace agreement can do about that. He says, I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Okay, so this prediction, 2,600 years ago, and this should be taking place pretty shortly, and as far as God's calendar goes. Why is he going to do this? In verse 5, because thou hast had a perpetual hatred and has shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity, in the time that their iniquity had an end. Okay, when you see the word end, you know, in your mind's eye, circle it. If you want to circle it, that's fine too. So that will take us to the end of Daniel's 70 weeks. And it's the hatred that they have towards Israel. Okay, it's illogical. It makes zero sense. They're mad because God chose Isaac over Ishmael, and they're mad because God chose Jacob over Esau. Man, that was 4,000 years ago. Get over it! I mean, how long are you going to hold a grudge, people? It's because each generation brain not washes but filths the next generation. And like Wally Schubert said, that we would sing and talk about them Jews being dogs, them Jewish dogs in the schools as kids, teaching little kids that. Okay, then he says, the Lord says, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God. So when God makes this oath here, as I live. This is an oath that will not change. This is not flexible. There's nothing they can do about this. Okay, so in verse 5, it says, in a time of their calamity. If you would, try the little book of Obadiah. It's called The Vision of Obadiah. It's just 2 pages. That's all. And he writes about the Edomites. You'll see in verse 1, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. So what will these Edomites do? Okay, when the Jews are on the run, trying to hide from the United Nations peacekeeping troops in the Trib, or when they were on the run from Babylon coming in, the Edomites would be informants, okay? And they're ratting on them so that the soldiers go in and get these people. So he says in verse 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, so that's the rock city, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Well, God's going to do it. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest upon the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. If thieves come in, come to thee, if robbers by night, how art thou cut off? Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If the grape gatherers came into thee, would they not leave some grapes? How are the things of Esau scratched out? How are his hidden things sought out? All the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. Verse 10, he says, for thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee. Verse 9, I skipped that. In verse 8, you'll see Edom, you'll see Esau. Verse 9, you see Teman. Teman, does that ring a bell? Teman. The three stooges that came to Job. Eliphaz the Temanite, the firstborn son of Esau. So that puts our doctrinal footing of Job in the tribulation. Okay, Job portrays a Jew in the tribulation. So these would be looters. I mean, you talk about lowlifes. People get flooded or they lose property or tragedy comes in, a hurricane or tornado. Here comes the looters. Kicking somebody while they're down. Or if somebody's having a burial, you got to be careful about advertising funerals now. Because these lowlifes will discover when you're at the funeral home and they will come and rob the house blind. Some people have to leave somebody at home to watch the pro. You talk about lowlifes. I mean, it's almost like, you want to keep somebody at the house, but somebody big and tough and burly, and if they show up, let them come in and just beat the royal snot out of them. You know, I mean, what a bunch of lowlifes. But that's what the Edomites are like. Somebody asked one of these Muslims one time, he said, about their hatred toward the Jews. He said, if you guys would push Israel to the Mediterranean Sea and they got just a little bit on the shore of the Mediterranean Sea, how would that make you feel? He said, I'd push them into their sea. That's illogical. Okay, and that's the spirit. Okay, and so if you would, let's try Malachi chapter 1. Okay, Malachi 1, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Okay, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountain, its heritage, waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Okay, the wilderness, that's where the Jews wandered. Okay, so they they came out of Egypt and they waded through the Sea of Reeds. And then somehow God mysteriously drowned Pharaoh's army in about 6 inches of water. So, no, they came through, and in about 6 days got over to Aqaba, and then they were in this what's called a wadi, where there's mountains on this side, and then there's a mountain all along the Aqaba there. And they come into a beach area where it could house about 3 million people. I've been there. It's called Nuweiba. Okay, and under the water, amazingly, under the water, when you go down, and when the water parts, as an east wind came through and it congealed the waters, congealed means it made it like ice, and it split it about a mile wide. And amazingly, below the water, the bottom of the sea gradually went down 1,000 feet and then gradually came up 8 miles on the other side. And on each side of that mile wide, the sea goes to 5,000 feet deep. Mysteriously, there's an underwater land bridge. I was hoping to do scuba diving in that area because Ron Wyatt and them found horse hooves and chariot wheels and things down there. It didn't work out for us to do that. Okay, and so that's Nuweiba. Then when they got on the other side, they went to Mount Sinai. They had the experiences at Mount Sinai. Then they were heading north, and they were heading a little bit north and west. Went up to Kadesh Barnea, and that's when they sent the 12 spies, and they backpedaled, said, we don't want to go in there. And right there is where Miriam died. Okay, and then they did a U-turn, a reverse, back into the wilderness, which is Saudi Arabia, and wandered for 40 years. Okay, that's the wilderness that he's talking about here. Now it is inhabited by dragons. And dragons in the Bible is another word for devils. Okay, Leviathan is the natural picture of Lucifer. And dragons, reptilians, okay, are the natural makeup of devils. Okay, but these devils can shapeshift and appear to be men. And you won't even know it. You wouldn't know it, they would be men. How can they do that? They have to have human blood to get the energy. Okay, and so this is what Judas Iscariot was. And they didn't know it for 3.5 years. They lived with him and didn't know he was a devil. This is what Jesus called the chief priest. Ye are of your father the devil. They came through a breeding program where the devil is their literal father. They take his seed and implant it in a woman, have a, quote, virgin birth replica. And these were the instigators of the crucifixion. And so Saudi Arabia is an infestation of devils, and that's why you see such absurd behavior, where they can take, you know, an infidel or a heretic and drag him through the street and then string them up, and then have kids come and poke the body, and parents want them to do it. That's insane. And then they can have honor killings where if the daughter marries outside of the family or doesn't marry who dad wants her to marry, then he could get an uncle and kill her and be approved of by the culture. There's a guy in Texas did this. Well, in our culture, he's going to serve 40 years for murder. I mean, that's insane. That is unnatural affection. What kind of a dad would burn his daughter alive or allow it to happen? I got a book in my office. Its title is Burned Alive. It's a Muslim gal that took a liking to a guy. Dad didn't like it. Uncle calls her in the back part of the property. She feels liquid being poured on her. Match struck. She is like this. She jumps over the back fence, somehow survives it, escapes. And then somebody takes her to a hospital. And then there's a Muslim doctor and a Muslim nurse, and they want her to die. They want her to die to honor her dad. She somehow survives it. Okay, gets her out of the country. Some some social aid worker somehow got her out of the country. And to me, the saddest thing is after all that, she's still Muslim. I would think, I'm going to try something else, Buddhist or something. But she's still Muslim. And that's insane. And that's people who are possessed. Unnatural affection. It's outside of the realm of flesh that gets into the spirit world. Okay, so in Ezekiel 35, the Lord says, "As I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee with blood, and blood shall pursue thee." And then an old, out-of-date word. We need to change the whole Bible because of the next word, Sith. You know what that means? I mean, just kind of look at it. You probably could figure it out. You know, Sith, thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. Since? Oh, that's terrible. We need to update that. Just, you know, and what they'll do is they'll take that and then they'll change about 200 other ones in the chapter. Then he says this, "Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate, and cut off from it him that passes out and him that returneth, and I will fill his mountains with slain men. In thy hills and in thy valleys and all thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with the sword. I will make thee perpetual desolations." Okay, perpetual, continual. The reason what he's talking about is if you go to Isaiah 34, there's 17 verses in there. Verse 16 says, "Seek ye out the book of the Lord and read." And in that passage, he says that Edomia, which is another name for this area, and Edom, is going to turn into pitch. It's going to be, it's like the lowest, the Dead Sea is the lowest place below sea level in the world. All rivers run into the Dead Sea. There's nothing coming out of it. Okay, now the Jews are mining a bunch of minerals out of the Dead Sea. But if you don't know how to swim, there's the place to go to learn. You cannot drown. It's impossible. You will bob like a bobber, and you can change your name and say, "I'm Bob." That's what Brent did. He was just bobbing up and down in the water. Okay, and so that area in Isaiah 34 is going to turn into a lake of fire where the hell beneath is going to ooze up like the sulfur springs in the Yellowstone. It's going to ooze up, and that whole area is going to turn into a lake of fire. And in the millennial time period, if somebody is worthy of being thrown in there, Jesus Christ will order it, and they will throw them into hell. Okay, and that's the sulfur smell that area. That's where Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, Bozrah, that's all those places, that's all along that region, and that's what's going to happen in the millennial time period. And you know, the Lord says in Isaiah 34, he said, I want everybody to know that. In verse 1, he says that. I want everybody to know that. If you go to a Christian college around the world, ask them if they know that. He wants everybody in the world to know that. He wants them to know that that place right there, I am going to turn into hell. But how many people know that? It's a shame. It's a shame they don't know that. Okay, and so that's why he says in 9 it's going to be a perpetual desolation. And then he says, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine. Okay, in that context, Judah and Israel. And we will process it, whereas the Lord was there. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger, and according to thine envy. Oh boy, there you go. Circle that one. Envy. Envy. When's the last time you hear preachers preach on envy? Go to a preacher's conference to see if they preach on envy. Go to the contemporary church. See if they even mention the word envy. Envy seems to fall in line with certain occupations. Opera singers are pretty bad about that one. Professional athletes are pretty bad about it. Actors and actresses in Hollywood are pretty bad about it. Preachers are terrible about that one. Envy. Politicians are bad. Envy. It's an irrational sin. It's a satanic sin. It's a sin where the second one in command said, I will be like the Most High. It's a very irrational idea. Okay, and that's what Pilate knew in Mark 15:10. He knew that the chief priests delivered Jesus Christ because they envied him. Okay, now jealousy is a word that can go either way. Okay, where the Lord says, I am a jealous God. So you can be jealous for something that is rightfully yours. Okay, so a husband can be jealous for his wife, but for a boy to be jealous for his girlfriend, don't waste the time. Not until you say, I do. Then you can be jealous for that. In Mark 15, verse 10, that's the place where the Pilate, he figured it out. Pilate had several people in front of him, and this case with Jesus was, oh wow, this was very unique. I mean, if the impeachment hearings was a kangaroo court, I mean, that's a party compared to this one with Jesus. And Pilate had seen all these accusations come against Jesus Christ, and he just stood there. He didn't even tweet like Trump did. He didn't say anything. That shocked Pilate. Aren't you going to say anything? You're the king of the Jews? You said it. You don't talk to a guy like that. He did. Why? Because he was determined to set his face like a flint to go to Calvary. And Pilate knew. Pilate was trying to get rid of this. He knew Jesus Christ was innocent. He was trying. He was doing all he could to get rid of him. But, you know, as a politician, you know, they got the backbone of a wet noodle. He says he knew the chief priests had delivered him for envy. Envy is an uneasy or discontented feeling at the sight of superior accomplishments, character, excellence, happiness, reputation, and success enjoyed by another. Paul said we should weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, but a lot of people, instead of rejoicing with this person's good things that happen to them, they're envious of them. Well, I can sing better than that person. I can preach better than that person. Well, I can do this better than that person. So, it doesn't matter. Okay, envy. That's what the scholars feel about the authority of the King James Bible. Oh, they just can't stand that book has authority. They want the authority, and they got to do everything they possibly can to belittle the authority of this book without tipping their scale to the people that they really don't believe it at all. It's a real fine line what they try to do. Envy is an irrational sin. Proverbs 27:4 says, who can stand before envy? It's the green-eyed monster. Several years ago, I preached on it down at Rensselaer. You know, a little bit more corny back in those days. And, you know, and I took a ping pong ball and cut it in half, and I put two holes inside it, and then I put green little things, eyeballs in it, and I put it in my eyes, and I preached on envy. The green-eyed monster. But that's what the Muslims have toward Israel. It's envy. They're mad. They hate those people because God has chosen them. Didn't choose them. What are they griping about? Look at all the oil they got. I mean, them Saudi sheiks, they got gold faucets. And they're griping. Professional athletes. You need to give me the ball more. I need more attention. You get paid $10 million even when you strike out 100 times a year. I mean, if you strike out, they ought to, you know, decrease the paycheck. No, they still... Where in the world can a black man complain about getting paid millions of dollars and failing in his job? You know, like America? Go to Africa. If they think it's so bad in America, go find out someplace else. It's just nonsense. These people are not dealing with reality. Oh, America, we need to clean up the environment. America, we're in America. You ever go to China? Ask my sister what China smells like. David and Maggie's two little ones, they were born in America, and now they're in China, and they say, China stinks. You ain't kidding, it stinks. I mean, Vietnam, when I was in Vietnam, there's the canal. We'd have to take a boat to get to each of the orphans during the rainy season, you can see the water would come up 12 feet on the houses. There's the canal. The canal is their septic, their bathtub, their drinking water. They take it out of the canal and put it in a big pot, a pottery, right beside the house, and let the sediments go down, dip off the top. That's Vietnam. Okay, and so, you don't like America, man, oh man. They need to get a one-trip ticket to these places just to see how it's like. Take old AOC and throw her and give her a one-trip ticket down to Venezuela. See how she likes that. Don't give her the classy motels. Put her in where the common people live. You know, take crazy Bernie. Take Bernie and then send him over, you know, to some socialist country like Venezuela. Don't let him know that he's a politician. Make him go on the streets and see how he likes it. That's what they need to do with these people. So he says, to thine envy that thou hast used out of thy hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I have judged thee. So what is the Lord going to do? Okay, if you would, go back to that little book of Obadiah. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. At the end of it, in verse 17, there's a paragraph mark. And it says, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. Okay, so there's Jerusalem. And there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. And the house of Joseph a flame. And the house of Esau for stubble. Oh, I know how that's going to work. That's going to make the Aussie fires look like nothing. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. So they're going to be taking advantage of the Jews in the tribulation. When it's done, God says, okay, let's do a turnabout here. And he's going to let those Jews just wipe them out. Okay, verse 12 of Ezekiel 35. Excuse me. thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel. So God is keeping track of every idle word that men shall say. They'll give an account in a day of judgment. Against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. Okay, that's a very short-lived in the tribulation. He says, thus with your mouth ye have boasted against me and have multiplied your words against me, and I have heard them. So what they are saying about the Israel people, the Lord has taken that personally. You're saying that about me. So then you can run that to Matthew 25, the judgment of nations, whatever you have done unto one of these, the least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. And it's the same thing that when Jesus manifested himself to Saul, he said, why are you persecuting me? So when he's persecuting the people of God, okay, the Lord has taken that personally because it's going against him. So that's quite a thing, you know, where our elder brother, sometimes a younger brother kind of gets to be a little smart mouthy, and he may be saying, my big brother going to beat you up. Well, who's your big brother? Jesus Christ is. According to Hebrews 2, he's the elder brother. So if you kind of, you know, want to get, I wouldn't suggest getting a little smart mouthy with the devil, but I'll say, hey, Lord, you're my big brother. I need your help. And that's a good thing to do. Ezekiel 35, verse 13. Thus with your mouth ye have boasted against me and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. Thus saith the Lord God. When the whole earth rejoiceth, okay, so the whole earth, okay, time period, millennial time period, okay, Isaiah 11, 9, when the whole world knows the Lord as the waters cover the sea, millennial time period. So when the whole earth rejoices, I will make thee desolate. So that will be Edom during the millennial time period, turns into a lake of fire. And this is why Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, which is the constitution for the kingdom, he says, if your hand offends thee, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life halt, okay, or maimed, than to go into life and cast bodily into the lake of fire there. So the millennial time period is going to be a time period of works because faith will be made known by simply going to Jerusalem. Okay, before the flood, I mean, it would be pretty nice, you know, to live before the flood. I think they were probably, I do believe they were probably more advanced in technology than we are today. I really do. Okay, and but today, you know, if somebody's really a skeptic and they're real smart mouth, yeah, I want to see it, I want to see it, I want to see it. You got to prove it to me, prove it to me. Just think what you could do before the flood. You remember after Adam sinned, God put that right by the tree of life, this cherub, the lightsaber cherub, guarding that tree. And if you're witnessing somebody over there in that general area, you know, and they're saying, I just want to see it, I want to see it. Okay, you just come with me. Your soul is very important. So we're going to take a little trip, and you take a camping trip, and you go over to the Tree of Life area. And you want to see it? You want to see it, pal? Okay, I dare you. I dare you. Go touch that tree over there. And he gets over to that tree, and all of a sudden this lightsaber comes out, and that angel comes out. Okay, I believe. Boy, I think that took place clear to the flood. I think that angel guarded that thing till the flood. What a testimony that'd be. Okay, and today, hey, Jesus said, okay, in the story with the rich man Lazarus, he said, I don't care if somebody came back from hell, they wouldn't believe him. They got the scriptures, that's good enough. So a lot of these times people, well, if I only see if somebody came in here. Somebody did. His name was Jonah. And look how they react to that story. Okay, that event. So in verse 14, thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoices, I will make thee desolate. And then he says, as thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. He who gets the last laugh, last best. Psalms 2, the Lord gets the last laugh. And thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Edomia. So there's that title, that name, where you could run that back to Isaiah 34. Even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord. we've got a whole chapter here. Got a whole chapter in Isaiah 34. You got four verses at the end of chapter 20 that he throws in the idea. And then Ezekiel says, oh, they're going to say I'm speaking parables. So if you tell a Jehovah's Witness about the rich man Lazarus, oh, that's a parable. And then you just ask him, show me the word in the context. Show me the word parable. I'll give you $20. I pulled that on a JW. He's looking. I said, keep looking, pal. My $20 is safe. I'm Dutch. I don't make a deal like that not knowing that it's safe. And you know, 2 years go by, and I see that clown in another house. And right before he left, I said, hey, did you ever find parable in that story? He kind of wanted to say something, but he just kept on walking. Then I saw him about a month or so later in town, and he saw me, he put his head down, didn't want to even look at me eye to eye. Yeah, that's how that one goes. So, okay, so that's chapter 35. We got it covered. Any questions or comments?